Welcome back. We are up to Perek Tes, Mishnah Zion, Chapter 9, Mishnah 7 of Maseches Kilayim. Says the Mishnah as follows: Ha Barsin the Ha Bard. The habardasin, these types of sheets known as barsin and bardasin, and the hadalimatkion, and this certain type of undergarment and underwear or whatever, umin alos hapinon, and some type of shoes called pinon shoes, so with all these things, lo yilbash behen achi yivdok, a person can't wear these things until he checks them for shanis. He's like, this is great. I have never heard of any of these things. I never wear any of them, and so therefore I never have to be concerned about checking any of my stuff for shatnez. Wrong, right? The Mishnah is not saying that these are the only things, it's saying that these are good examples. Why are these good examples? Because these are things that normally, typically, will have shatnez within them, right? So people might read this Mishnah and be a little bit shocked. Shoes that have a type of wool in them, that should have to be checked for shatnez? What do you mean? Everyone has a pair of Uggs that are wool, and so this was the source of the great Ugg controversy a couple of years ago, and still continues to go on. Is there a prohibition to wear Uggs? Meaning, are Uggs generally made with shanes? Do they have to be checked for shanes? And this is a surprise to a lot of people, because most people assume, what do you have to get checked for shanes? A suit or something, you know, whatever, maybe a little fancier. But nothing else needs to be checked for shanes. So the truth is, many things that are made with wool, in all likelihood, should be checked or at least analyzed for a need to be checked for shanes. Unless, perhaps, there is a 0% chance of likelihood that this would be a concern at all. So this is, obviously way beyond the scope of just talking about the Mishnayos over here, but the Mishnah over here is giving examples. These are things that you should check for shanes. You can't wear them until you check them for shanes, because they often do, in fact, contain shanes. Rabbi Yossi says, Habaim mechov hayam umimidinas hayam inan tzrichen bedika. So too, or I guess in contrast to that, if these things come from overseas, it sounds like us, made in China, made in Vietnam, Indonesia, whatever. So if these things come from these like coastal areas that were overseas, you don't need to check them. Because it's normally assumed that they were made with hemp and not with any linen, right? So too, in similar cases, right? So often cheaper suits do not have shatnez, do not have woolen linen. More expensive suits are more likely to have woolen linen. Why? Because linen and wool are very nice materials. In particular, many suits are made of wool. So why would you have linen? Well, in places like the collar and the shoulders and the lining of the jacket, etc. Well, you might you might want to make those areas reinforced with linen, especially if it costs more. And so that's why suits are such a famous example of something that should be checked for shatnez. But again, going back to the Mishnah, if you do have these clothes from overseas, this is not to say that if your clothes are not from overseas, that they are from overseas, you don't need to have them checked. But rather, in the Mishnah's example, Rabbi Yossi explains that if these things do come from these areas overseas, they don't need to be checked, because you assume that they are usually made with this hemp and not with linen. Says the Mishnah further, Uminal shel zered ein bo mishum kilayim. So too, when you have this special boot called the zered boot, so you evidently would not need to have, this usually does not have kilayim, because it's usually not made with linen, and so therefore you could wear it without even checking it for shanes. Then says the Mishnah Ches, so when does one actually violate the prohibition of shanes? Let's say I have a woolen suit and a linen tie. Is that the prohibition to wear those two things? So certainly midaraisa would seem absolutely not. And here's why. Because, again, one is not going to be prohibited from wearing a garment as kilayim unless you have a situation where the wool and linen threads were spun and woven individually on their own, and then they were made into a cloth together. But if you have wool and linen that weren't spun into thread, but they were woven together when they were unfinished, then this is not shanes. And so too, if wool and linen were spun into thread, but they were pressed together and not woven together, that's also not a prohibition of shanes. How do you know this? Shenemar lo tilbash shanes. The very famous explanation of the pasuk says that you should not wear shanes. What in the world is shanes? Says the Mishnah, davar shehu shua tavoy venuz, something that is Shua, which means like smoothed out, Tavoy, which means like spun, and Nose, something that's woven. So this means that when it comes to spinning and weaving, as well as smoothing too, so these are necessary things to make a garment actually considered shatnez. And then finally concludes the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that Nalos Umeliz Hu Es Aviv Shebashmayim Alav, someone who wears shatnez, he is someone who turns away from the appropriate, the correct path of serving Hashem, and he is actually causing Hashem to turn away from him. You say, that sounds pretty severe. So the Mefarshim explain as follows why this might be the case, because when it comes to violating another prohibition, most other prohibitions, you get some kind of real physical benefit. You have a cheeseburger, you violate other things, so at least you get some enjoyment out of it. You could understand from a Gashmiastika perspective why you would do this, but Shatnez, is it really that much nicer to wear one linen? So perhaps the clothing industry would say otherwise, but the average person would say, no, there's no, the only reason why you would do it is if you just don't care what Hashem has to say, if you don't care about his mitzvahs. And that's why, says the Mishnah, Hashem will turn away from you because you have turned away from him. So how do you see that Hashem, how do you see that you turn away from God? Because this end of the verse, the end of the word of shatnez, nez, sounds a lot like the word naloz, which means to turn away, and also the word meiliz causes others to turn away. And so when you wear shatnez, you are essentially turning away from God and going against him, and so therefore God will turn away from you and not show you any mercy at all. There are many stories about individuals who perhaps wore shatnez knowingly, unknowingly, and they had horrible things come into their lives. Certainly a prohibition that people should be careful about. Again, usually we don't necessarily do things because we're horrified of being, you know, struck down, but rather because Hashem commanded us to do it. And if Hashem commanded us to do it, even though we don't understand it, we should be careful about it. So it's certainly worthwhile, for something that we should learn more about and try to understand and make sure that we're fulfilling this commandment in its proper way. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Ches. God willing, next time I'll continue with Mishnah Tes. Have a wonderful day.